So we're going to have little slight glitches and things and transistors, and it's much better to to use newer electronics than it is older electronics in any case. So the Mark 6 meter is a superior, it uses superior quality components. It has some bells and whistles on it. It has a tone arm counter and a clock and various things like this, which has taken up the majority of the inside of the guts. You have two separate parts. You have a meter section that's very simple. This can't be very complicated, but the biggest complication in the Mark 6 is the clock and the counter and all this other stuff. It's quite a, and the charging system, it's they're way different, you know. But the Mark 5 has a very high quality meter, or a needle movement, meter movement we'll call them. And the Mark 6 has a very poor one. So you have a very good meter and a bad movement in the Mark 6. Now you can take a Mark 5 meter movement out of a Mark 5 and cut a hole in a Mark 6 and hook it up in there, and you're going to have a far superior meter to the Mark 6 because you've put a five times the quality of meter movement onto the meter itself. And you won't have this bouncy, 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 bouncy. A Mark 6 sits there and it'll bounce 15 or 20 times before it comes to set. And a Mark 5 will go two or three times and quit. An ideal meter will just go zoom right to exactly where it was, never overshoot, never undershoot, and just stay right there. Now you have the later model church meters, and that's what they were trying to do when they got into the quantum. They were trying to adjust for the sensitivity or the booster setting at high TA. They were trying to adjust this as things went along. It was it's a better design and meter, and they had a TA adder, and there were other little bells and whistles on it, but it's still basically just a plain old Wheatstone bridge. They don't cost very much to make. We can, you know, you have about $100 worth of parts, and $200, you got $100 for the meter, and $100, it's not even $100 worth of parts. ICs are $2 or $3, $4 a piece. Resistors are cheap. We don't even have $100 worth of materials that goes into the meter. Even if you're buying them from Radio Shack, you probably got, you know, $2 or $3, $4 worth of components. Your wire wound potentiometers, which is your tone arm. These are variable resistors. You get these high quality resistors that operate smoothly. Because that's what you want to see. You don't want to be seeing what your thumb is doing or the glitches in the components. You want to see what's happening in the PC's bank. So these will run you $25, $50, $75. Depends on how much money, what kind of quality that you want. These variable resistors can be very expensive. So we're going to have three of them in there. So we're probably looking at $25 or $30 a piece. We've got about $75 just in the three variable resistors, and a good design. We only need two. We only need a sensitivity from zero to infinity, and we need one for the TA. The rest of it's all done electronically. If we use a regulated power supply, we don't have to worry about split batteries and having part of the battery discharge more slower than the other, and have to balance the meter. You turn the meter on, it's balanced. It runs through the voltage regulator. It stays exactly at 1.2 volts forever and ever until it's dead. It doesn't kind of degrade down to 1.8, then 1.7, and then finally the battery dies. You know, it just sets there right there. You run a 9-volt battery on the thing, and it keeps it exactly at 1.5 volts until that battery is completely dead. And either the meter works or it doesn't work, and you don't have to calibrate it. You don't have to trim it. You don't have to adjust it. Now, all the early LRH books mentioned the trim knob, and so I'm sure what happened, the designers of the meter just wanted to keep the books good, you know, don't alter LRH any, and so they went ahead and used the same crummy design that the Mark V had, because LRH said that's the way it was. Well, yeah, he was right. It was a wonderful meter. It's good, but at the time, anybody could have made a better meter. You can take them to any good electronics person, and it's about the complicated complicatedness of a toaster or something. It's not very complicated at all. It's not an ununderstandable thing. And when I teach an e-meter course, I take meters apart and have show the people all the little parts, and they touch them, move them around, and show them what they do. And they get a lot of cognitions out of this. This is not the holy of holies. You know, this is not something that you're going to die and go to hell, burn in hell forever if you take the meter case off. It's kind of funny. We're indoctrinated so much into the church that, this is almost the holy of holies, and you have to have it calibrated ever so often, and you got to pay for having that done. And boy, if you ever took a meter apart, somebody would shoot you. It's like just not done. You know, that's just not done. Nobody takes a meter apart, and the meter dies, and they're afraid to take it apart. They are not about to take it apart. But you take it apart, it's just a collection of resistors and transistors and little swingy things and a battery and a little battery charger and a stick it to wood box, and that's all it is. Now we have several different meters that are being offered in the free zone. We have the ability meter, we have the clarity meter, we have the mind walker. The mind walker is one that can be plugged into a laptop and it can show some of the stuff on a screen. The ability meter is a good meter. They have automatic balancing, so whenever the TA gets to a certain point, the electronics of it actually pull it back down to a normal range, and then you would have a digital indicator that just tells you where the TA is at. I don't particularly care for that. Some people think that that's great, that it automatically adds up the TA for you and automatically adjusts the TA. But I feel that you should be able to move that TA around with your fingers. You want to know exactly what's going on with the PC. And any kind of electronics thing that you have, you're going to have to put in some kind of a comm lag in it. You're going to have some kind of a time delay when that needle goes bong all the way over to the right. Well, do I adjust the TA after it sits there for 1 second, or 1 minute, or a tenth of a second, or a thousandth of a second? Where do I set this up? So you've got a compromise. You've got to say, okay, when the needle goes slam all the way over to the end and it stays there for more than half a second, then that's when I am going to change it. You make these decisions electronically, and it goes over, stays there, and then if it stays there more than a half a second, it automatically compensates for it, and then your display says 3.5 instead of 3.6. And I don't particularly like that. I like to have that needle respond directly to my thumb. I don't want a bunch of electronics in there judging for me when to move my thumb and when not to move my thumb. In grades auditing and things like this, you don't really care. You don't even care if you got a needle hardly. The only thing that you're going to worry about in grades auditing is how much TA did you get. You run these processes until they just quit producing change on the PC. You're, you know, flippity floppity flippity floppity, 200, 300, 400 divisions of TA. You start off on your grades auditing and the person is getting 4 or 5 divisions a session. Then he's getting 10, then he's getting 20, then he's getting 50, you know. The more that the person becomes aware, the deeper he can look into the bank, and the more that he can erase this stuff, and you're going to wind up getting more and more and more TAs goes along. And as the thing is starting to erase, the grade is starting to go flat, he's becoming to have no little or no bank on the thing, you're going to get less and less and less and less TA, till finally you're just not going to get any more TA on communication. And the guy's going, well, yeah, I can communicate to anything, anywhere, anytime, any place, any dynamic, blah, 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 floating needle, floating needle, floating needle, floating needle. See? So he starts off with a little bit of TA, and then gets more and more and more and more as the case progresses, because he's more and more able to look at this reactive mind. He's more and more able to erase things. He can look at bigger and heavier chunks of stuff and erase it. And when he first starts out, he can't hardly find any pictures, and then he can only look at little tiny ones that didn't hurt too bad. And as he gets more and more ability, his awareness goes up and up and up. He gets more and more attention units. Now he can knock off and break big old giant Ingrams. So when he first starts off, it takes him an hour to go through an Ingram. And he gets a bunch of auditing, and he can take that same charged Ingram that he would have had to take an hour before, and he just looks at it and goes, oh, that's what happened. Boof. And it's gone. So there's a lot of things that a meter is good for. You can tell the state of case. You can tell how well the person is progressing by where the TA is pointing. If we got a high TA, of course we know that there's a bunch of stuff keyed in on the body, and he's having trouble moving mental image pictures around. And if we got a low TA, we know he's overwhelmed. All of this stuff is all contained in the technology of the Prophet LRH. Well, this is a more of a discussion of the general nature of what the meter is and what's making it read and the various kinds of meters. Now, there's another big question here. People say, well, what makes a meter read? You know, why is this thing going twick, twick, twick whenever the PC looks at a painful incident? Now, the meter reads on something that it reaches below the PC's awareness level. In other words, it's going down. You're finding incidents, you're finding pictures, you're finding items and charge that the PC is not aware of. He is not aware of it. It's in a reactive mind. You know, obviously, if he was aware of it, it wouldn't bother him. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find things that the PC is not aware of. They're on an unconscious level, an unknowing and reactive level. That's what the whole deal is try to get the stuff that's annoying off. And one of the beautiful things about something that is reading on the meter is has two things. One, the PC is reaching below the PC's awareness. The PC is unaware of it consciously, but it is something that will be real to the PC. You see, the meter, we're very fortunate that the mental image pictures affect the body this way. Because if the meter didn't read below the PC's awareness level, it would do us no good. We might as well just throw it on the ground because the PC already knew about it. You know, why would you want to use a meter if the PC already knew about it? And he said, yeah, that's breaking affinity. Bang, you know. But he goes, well, is that a breaking affinity? Well, I'm not sure. You know, and the meter's going clonk on reality. You know, well, what it really was a break in reality, and he thought he didn't know what it was, or it might have been affinity, but the meter's telling you that, yep, you have a lot of charge here on reality. That is a break in reality, and the PC will go all VGIs, very good indicators, and laugh, and you know you've got the right item. So this meter is reading below the PC's awareness level, and it's reading on something that's going to be real to the PC. And it's one of the maxims of auditing. If you're trying to run a PC on something that he has no reality on, he'll try to run it. He'll try to run it. He'll try to run the steepest process in the whole world. He'll do his best to run the thing, but he's not going to really have much reality to him. He's not going to get much gain out of it. He's more just running it because you told him to run it more than he is running it because it's going to do him any good. And it won't do him any good. So you have to get some kind of a process that's real to the PC, that is turning on a real picture that he knows is real, and you increase the pre-clear certainty, you don't increase his uncertainty. So the meter is telling you that there is something there that is in the reactive mind that is charged, and it's going to be real to the PC. In other words, he's going to find it, he's going to say, oh yes, I hated that thing. He's going to have some charge on it, you see. It's going to be real to him. He's going to be able to find these pictures, he's going to know what it is to some degree, and he's going to be able to erase it. Now, if it read so deep, which we could do, we could make a meter sensitive enough. You look at all of the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious lie detectors and things. We can hook him up to all kinds of sensors, and we can put down his brain waves and his heart beating, and we can put down the twitches of the finger, and we can put him on 100 different reads. We can hook him up to a whole room full of stuff. And these things are not going to do us a lot of good because they are reading things that are so far below the awareness level of the PC that they're not even going to be real to him. So we've got a little balance here in the meters in the physical universe. We have to have something that reads below the PC's awareness level, but we can't have it read so far below the PC's awareness level that he can't even find it. And the meter is a compromise in that, and we find things that if it's reading, you know, especially the better it reads, the more real it's going to be to the PC, and the more charger is going to be on it. you go through a list and you assess, you know, what's your favorite fruit? Racket-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack-a-tack- now, if we start asking him about each one of these fruits, you know, we're going to find out that he's got a lot of charge on apples. He's going to have a lot more attention on apples than that little tiny tick he had on kumquat. And that tick probably was because he didn't even know what a kumquat was. But apples, yes, I remember apples. When I was 3, a giant apple came up and ate me. He's going to have charge on this thing. And this charge is going to be real to him, and the meter is going to help you find what's real to the real to him. Now, the whole purpose of auditing is to help the PC. You help the PC. You don't help the auditor. You don't help the book salesman. You don't help the case supervisor. You, the whole purpose of auditing, the only reason you're even there in the first place, is to help the PC get better. And the meter is one of the ways that you can help the PC. You know, he doesn't have to look at the meter or anything. He can sit there in a chair, comfy, and kick back and close his eyes and look for some incident. And it's your job as an auditor, whenever he finds that incident or he gets close to that incident, is to let him know, okay, what's that? What's that right there? You look at something, you know, fall, what's that? What's that? What's that? You steer him in. He goes, oh, that was, the giant apple. The giant apple jumped out of the tree and ran over and ate all the oranges.